Before you, Lord, once again with grateful hearts, Lord, as your people, as those that have been called by your name, Lord, as those that have been salvaged, Father God, from the grips of this world system, Lord, that has taken so many, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you that you have redeemed us unto yourself, Lord God, as a chosen people, just purely by the name of Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed for us, Lord, and the price that was paid necessary, Lord God, for us to know you. And Lord, we receive that gift of eternal life this day. Lord, we walk in that relationship that we have with you this day. Lord, we are grateful, Father God, for your love and your care for us and how you give us the abundant life as we follow you. And so, Lord, this day, Lord God, we also utilize every gift that you've given to us, Lord. And we take authority over every demonic force, Lord, that would seek to attack and enslave and to torment your people. And in Jesus' name, we do bind those forces and cast them out. Lord, we do break every assignment of the devil and cast it out, Lord. We pray, Father, just this morning for a free flow of your Spirit in this place. Lord, we pray, Father, that every burden and every care, Lord, would be left at your feet. Because, Lord, you said, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication to make our requests known unto you. So, Lord, we make known to you, Father, everything, Lord God, and, Lord, we trust you. And, Lord, I acknowledge openly this day, Lord, that there's nothing good in me but your Spirit. And so to your Spirit I do yield now and continuously, Lord, praying your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, for God's people, we learn as we continue to walk with Jesus how to turn over everything to Him. You know, it's a process. It doesn't, on day one, not everybody understands this and gets this just right like that. Some people do, but not everybody. Because God saves people out of the world, and the world works very hard to train you to think and to act and to believe a certain way. God saves people to Himself. But before that, people are bound up in the world, and so there's a certain way the world tries to make you think. And that thinking is completely different than the kingdom of God. And so the issue that one of the issues that we have is when we come from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, there's an issue. And the issue, it's not a problem, it's an issue, not Pastor Agnemic. But the issue that we have is that we end up, every time we learn something from God, it's different than what the world teaches you, the way the world tries to make you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the thoughts that God gives us, the thoughts that are in His Word, are different than the thoughts that are in the world and the way that the world thinks. And as we continue to walk with God, we learn to settle ourselves under the hand of God and under the Word of God. So when God speaks, we learn to settle ourselves with the words that He says. And so many times how that works is God allows us, so here I am, I say today, okay, I will follow you, Jesus. You lead me and I will follow you. And then what God does is He says, oh, okay, you say you want to follow me. Okay, follow me. Here, come this way. Come with me. And then as He leads you and you walk with Him, you start going through different experiences. And the experiences that you go through now test your faith. They test your relationship and your connection to Him. Now, the word that everyone uses for faith, another word that you can interchange with that is the word trust. So it tests your trust in God. It tests, do you really trust Him or do you not trust Him? See, when people talk about faith, many times I hear people, when they preach about it, they make it something big, mystical, you know, some magic thing in a big cloud. So this we have faith in this place. No, faith is just, do you trust God? Do you believe that He, what He said He will do? Do you believe that what's in His Word is true? In English, I should make a song out of that. That actually sounds nice. Anyway, so do you believe what He said, that it's the truth and that you'll do it? That He'll do it? Because now when you go into sets of experiences, He allows those experiences to stretch you. He allows them to make it, He allows it to be difficult. Because it's exactly that difficult experience that tests your faith. If everything was easy, you would not become the person God wants you to be. See, okay, let's think about exercise. I know nobody likes to, most people don't like to do exercise. Yeah, I see all these faces now smiling. Okay. If your exercise program is easy, do you get anything out of it? Yeah. So sometimes people are like, yes, I went and exercised. Well, what did you do? They didn't really do anything, but they feel good to say that they did. Yeah. No, it's when your body is physically tested that then you get the better result. And it's when, if it's something easy, it doesn't give you any result. So there's a natural example of a spiritual reality again. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, when I was younger, I used to wrestle. I was in America. I did wrestling for sport, not what you see on television. No, the Olympic style one, but wrestling. I used to wrestle. Yeah. It is one of the most difficult sports you can ever do. It's very, very hard. In wrestling, in the Olympic style one, you have 3-minute rounds and then you get a small break in between. But in that time, you get so tired because you're clashing with somebody. Now, it's not like golf. Golf people just, they walk, they hit the ball, different sport. But it's in a test that tries you, that is very difficult. That's where you get strong. So here it is, we say, okay, Jesus, I will follow you. And then Jesus says, okay, you want to follow me, here's what it means to follow me. He says, look, unless you hate your father, mother, brother, sister, your whole family, even your own life, you're not worthy to be one of my disciples. He says that when the guy says, oh, let me go bury my dad, let me take care of all these obligations I have. And Jesus says, look, let the dead bury the dead. If you're really serious about this, come follow me. Let's go. See, Jesus won't have another voice compete with his. He won't allow you, if you really want to follow him, he won't allow you to have a second voice competing with your attention and your affections. He won't have, you can't have a second voice and you having to decide which one to listen to. See, he won't allow you, if you want to be one of his, he won't allow you to hear his voice and then a second voice on this side saying, no, but you need to do this. In that situation, when you say, okay, so Jesus is saying one thing and this voice is saying something else. And then the person wonders, well, which one should I listen to? Jesus himself bows out of that situation and says, look, you go listen to the other voice. If you have anything competing for your affections, I'm going this way. See you later. Jesus says, you listen to the other voice. He lets you listen to the other voice. Jesus won't compete for that attention with you. entertain that second, third thing that's speaking to you saying, okay, I want you to do this, he won't entertain that. Because ultimately, in the kingdom of God, there is no questioning of the loyalty and of the allegiance to the words of the king. See, that's why sometimes when people, they stand up and they say, well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? It doesn't matter what I think about those things. It really doesn't. What matters is what the kingdom of God says about a situation, what the king says about a situation. And as an ambassador of Christ in the earth, when I hear what the king says about a situation, my responsibility is to let those words flow through me that the king would say. So it's not my opinion. I have nothing to defend. So if somebody says, well, I don't agree with you, I don't care. Because it's not my opinion I'm trying to defend. All I'm doing is, as an ambassador of light and truth, whatever God says to me, that's what I have to give out. And the people that are here in this life, they get to do what they desire with that truth. And they get to choose, do they choose to follow what the Father is saying, or do they choose to go with what the world says? See, the world has gotten very confused right now. Because right now in the world, there's all these people that think that their opinions matter. And they take themselves very, very seriously. So they give themselves special titles. And they make global conferences and they all come together for those conferences. And in the process of everybody coming together, and one person talks, and the next person talks, and the next person talks. And if you look out at the audience, one guy's sleeping, the other one's texting on the phone. No, so they go there and they talk for themselves to make themselves feel like they're important. And all these people and all of these words and all of their great opinions about what they should do. How many speeches? But nothing changes. And nobody really cares. Because in the end, really what you have here, you just have, are you a servant of light and truth, or are you part of the world system? And if you are a servant of light and truth, then you don't have to worry about it because the truth doesn't change. And you live in that truth, you speak that truth is who you become. And if you're in the world and part of the world, then you're very confused and then you need all this other stuff. So if you're part of the world, you need the conference. You have to have the conference. You must go. You must get your 3 minutes to say something that nobody listens to. I know, I'm serious. How many things over this last, just look back, these last couple of years, how many global forums on this and that, even in this country, how many special regional things have people had? Can you remember 1% of anything that anybody said there? Can you remember one phrase that anyone said? One phrase that anybody said in the last 2 years of all of these global meetings, all of these elections, everything. Can you remember one phrase that anybody said? I see all these people trying, they're thinking, is there something they can remember? No, you know something about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of lies? It's very, very easy to forget. You know that darkness and the demonic kingdom passes away so quickly? Do you know when they print a book, it is stale before it even comes off the printing press? Whereas the Word of God that we have is vibrant and fresh this day, and it's been here for thousands of years. Isn't that amazing? Okay, here, go to John chapter 5. I wanted to get into something here for a bit. Okay, and start at verse 19. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Verse 19. Okay, so here is Jesus, the Son of God. Here's Jesus, the light that came into the world that shines in the darkness. And as He comes into the world, He sets the example for a life that would be lived here, a maximum life.
ಅನ್ನುವಂತೆ ಮೇಲೋಗಿದೆ ಐವಿದ ಜೀವಾರ್ಥನೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟು ಉಮ್ಮನಂತೆ ಪೆನ್ನುವ
And now, for a disciple that would follow after Jesus, for somebody that would say, oh, okay, I'm a follower of Christ. Now, I have to say something quickly. I hesitate these days to use the label Christian because every Christian is not a follower of Christ, but every follower of Christ is a Christian. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Because there's a lot of people who, okay, if you are a follower of Christ, you are a Christ-like one, you are a Christian. But there are many, 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 many people that call themselves Christians that do not follow Christ. So if somebody comes up to me and says, oh, I'm a Christian, that means nothing to me. Because if that person says they're a Christian, that doesn't tell me whether they're a follower of Christ. The only thing it tells me is that there's a label, a religious label they subscribe to, but it tells me nothing about their heart, their connection, their relationship with God. And so it's a mistake to assume that somebody that calls themselves a Christian is somebody that is on a similar path and a journey like you have chosen to follow Christ. And I see so many times people say, oh my gosh, how could that person do this? They're a Christian, right? No. No, they call themselves a Christian, but that's very different than being a follower of Christ. Because if somebody was a follower of Christ, there are certain things that you cannot do because the Spirit of God that lives in you would not allow you to go that way and still keep a connection with the Father. See, you and I know when we walk with Christ Jesus that you develop a relationship and a connection with the Spirit of God. And if you do something that grieves the Spirit of God, you feel that in your own soul. You feel the damage that that does to your relationship with Him. And because that relationship that you have with Him is the most important thing in your life, you say, Lord God, no matter what, I need to repair this. I need this to be right with You. And then the Spirit of God speaks to you and He says, okay, if you want this to be right, here's what you need to do to make this right. And sometimes it's just repenting over a situation. Sometimes He will tell you, I want you to go and do something for this other person. That's the whole, leave your gift at the altar, go make that right, then come back. That's what that is about. See, this is an extension of you can't love your father, mother, sister, brother, life, anything more than you love the you can't love anything more than you love him. And then as you make that relationship right with the Father, by your obedience to what he says, you now continue to walk out your relationship and connection with him in this journey of life. But there are certain things that a follower of Christ will not go down that road and stay on that road. They will not go down a different path that's not Christ. So for me, I don't need to judge that person. But the thing I do realize is that the Jesus that I serve is very different than the Jesus that they serve. It's not the same God. Because the God that I serve, He won't allow me to live in a lie and to say a lie and to be a liar. That's not the God that I serve. He won't allow me to cheat and to steal and to defraud other people and remain in a relationship and a connection with Him. He won't allow me to outwardly present myself to be this one thing and then inside be something completely different. So the God that we serve, He leads and guides those that follow Him. And it's a free will decision, it's a free will choice that we make to choose to follow Him. Now, if we follow Him, then He's the one that then has to set the standard for all things. He's the one that decides how all things happen, how all things function and work. So back to verse 19, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also the Son likewise." So now Jesus in his time in the earth, he didn't show up and say, "Oh, okay, this is what I feel like doing." No. His time here was spent in connection with the Spirit of God, with the Father. And so when he would do something, he would do what he saw the Father doing. He would do what the Spirit of God was leading him through. And he had a natural will in him, but he always made that will subject to the will of the Father. He And he allowed for the expression of that will before the Father, but he always then brought it back underneath the authority of God. So the ultimate example of that is him in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Where he is wrestling with what the cross will be and mean to him to go through that. He's wrestling with what the cross is going to be. And even there, he's like, Lord God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he goes straight into, but Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so we go through, see Jesus in that struggle, in that situation, he shows even for us that yes, we have emotions, we have struggles in this walk. And it's fine to have those. Don't dress it up in some religious garbage and come before God saying, you know, oh thou that flung the stars in the sky and make it the heavens and the outermost realms of the universe. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. You've seen that, oh thine who put it the stars in the, make it the constellations. And sorry. No, be real with God. So Jesus. God sees your heart. He knows you're torn in a situation. Don't put a gloss of religion over that and think that helps anything. Rather, allow for the how raw that situation is, allow for that to be brought into the light and let God minister to you in that situation. But now here's Jesus walking through this life. And you know, I think one of the reasons why people had such a problem with Jesus was exactly this verse. Because he would do only what he saw the Father doing. And because of that, he also had no part in the things that were not God that were going on around him. And so there were all kinds of practices, all kinds of rituals that were established and set up for a long time. And people had thought that this was God, that God had established his practices. And so when Jesus shows up and he lives and moves and walks in the power of God through his life and his ministry, and now when everybody starts saying, well, Jesus, what do you think about this? Why don't you do this practice? Because God's like, because that has nothing to do with God. Why would I do that? So let me give you a few small examples. When they said, oh, why do your disciples walk through the fields and harvest grain on the Sabbath? You remember that one? They were like, they were walking through the fields, they took some grain, they rubbed it and they ate. And Jesus is like, you're missing the whole point. It's, you know, haven't you read other scriptures about what, you know, David and the priests have done even on the Sabbath? Then the one about washing, don't you wash before you eat and do all these special ceremonies? You remember the one with the pool where there's that man that was waiting by the pool, I think, was it 38 years? When Jesus heals him, he doesn't put him in the pool, he sends him the other way. Because what was going on in the pool was not God. Now that's a whole nother sermon that we can do another time. But what was happening in that pool, there was I know some of the scriptures talk about an angel that goes there, right? Yeah, I'll just... But I need to clarify this. I'll say this really quick as a side note. If we ever need to go through this one sometime, we will. But, well, Lucifer is an angel. Oh, there's lots of fallen angels. There's all kinds of angels running around. And in this situation, the angel that was going there was straight out of the depths of hell. And even there's certain scriptures that go along with that. That angel would go and stir the waters. Think about the situation. So you have all these crippled people hanging around and waiting year after year after year. In the hot, stinking sun, waiting there. In the hot sun. And when this demon would show up and just move the water a little bit, they would all quickly climb over each other and claw, and whoever got inside first, that's the person that got healed. Does that sound anything like the God that you walk with, you serve, you love? No, the Psalms tell us that God leads us beside the what waters? The still waters. He restores our soul. Does it sound like God to keep a man there waiting at the side of this thing, a crippled man waiting there for almost four decades? No! And the ultimate example that this is not God doing this, if it was God, Jesus would have had to take the crippled man himself and put him in the pool. Because he only did what he saw the Father doing. Okay, so that's the side note for you, but that was But the point being that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And what happened was so many people got angry and mad at Jesus because he didn't endorse their religious practice and the lives they had built around what they thought was God. They had built a life around what they believed their religion was. And Jesus himself was nowhere to be found in any of the things they had done or established. He was not part of what they established. And so when Jesus did not endorse it, it showed that it was illegitimate. There is a lot of things when we come to the Father, when we go from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light, there is a lot of things that we can leave behind and we don't have to carry with us anymore. God redeems His people from dead works. You know what a dead work is? A dead work is a work that is done that is not in connection with the source of life. If Jesus is not in it, it's dead. Very simple. It's already dead. It can seem like the nicest, best thing in the world, but if Jesus is not in it, if He's not leading and guiding it, it was dead before it started. So, for us as followers of Christ, ours is, and our place in this whole situation is, we just need to make sure that our spirits are aligned with the Spirit of God. And when He speaks and when He reveals to us, this is the way to go, walk ye in it. You go that way and you walk in it. And you don't have to take anything more on yourself than just that simple obedience. That's part of what it means when He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." When He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," what God puts on us is, look, you just have to hear My voice and obey and trust Me and walk in that. And so for us, just even as in that verse, when Jesus says that I only do what I see the Father doing, for the follower of Christ, it's the very same thing. We only do what it is that we see the Father doing. We only go the way that the Spirit of God leads us into. And for each person, it's according to the way that God has uniquely designed you as an individual to be part of His body and His true kingdom. And there is a blessing and a fulfillment that comes when you cross into that and live out that real relationship and connection that God has for you. And it is to that freedom that you've been called in Christ Jesus. And with that, my time is up, so we will...